Wild Talk Radio Network.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
I have big, big news for you.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents the evolution in online sports entertainment, Wrestle Talk Radio.
So what is this big, big news?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Hi, come on in. We're making a jack-o'-lantern.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
The boogeyman is outside, look.
Special guest host this week.
Oh, I didn't mean to startle you.
Local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
Don't you know what happens at Halloween? Yeah, you can.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
You can either ignore it, or you can help me to stop it.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Trick or treat! Trick or treat!
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
You are listening to Jack Evans' sweet, soothing voice, the Aerial Emperor himself.
This is third-generation female superstar, Natty Neidhart.
This is the one, the only, Knockout, Tracy Rugg.
This is Samoa Joe. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
This is Brian Danielson, best wrestler in the world. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have seen the earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
Most definitely stop being funny now. Cut it out.
Of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTR live. I am the producer, Sir Rockin, and guess who's back? Keishi!
Yeah, back from assignment on the curling ice because it's Halloween and we don't curl on Halloween, so I'm here.
He's back, y'all. He's back. We have an intern.
Yeah, things are so spooky, it's knocking out the internet for people.
So maybe we have a Tim Stein?
Good call!
I mean, he's connected to the call.
I don't know who you're looking for, he's not here.
But who is?
Perfect, that means we can talk shit about him, right?
You can talk trash, but expect to be in trouble because you must eat your blueberry cereal.
No, no, Tim, the Tarkov event was earlier today. Earlier.
Brent, he doesn't know what that is.
Oh.
There's actually a Monster Mash cereal now, Tim, where it is Frankenberry and Booberry cereal mixed together with the marshmallows from Count Chocula.
It sounds like a monster mashup.
That's exactly why they called it that.
It might be good.
It's not bad. I like it.
Just a spoonful of sugar for your bowl full of sugar.
Jesus, that stuff is still around? I thought it went bankrupt back in like 88.
No, they consistently re-release it like limited runs around Halloween, at least up here in Canada. Maybe it's like how we have Toys R Us and you guys don't.
Don't remind us of that fact. Thank you very much.
It makes him cry.
Yes.
Sorry. I mean, if it makes you feel any better, we still have, like, no stock of anything because we're Canada.
It was weird. I saw a Macy's Black Friday ad that had the word Toys R Us on it. Weird. So weird.
What else is weird is I am talking like this for no reason other than it's Halloween.
I'm trying to figure out which voice I hate more, Brent's pirate or this voice. I can't. I'm not sure.
Tim, are you like doing a like really, really bad impression of the guy from the hilarious House of Dr. Frightenstein?
No, I'm doing a Jewish vampire.
So you're doing an impression of the vampire from The Hilarious House of Dr. Frankenstein.
I grew up watching that damn show. I loved it.
Why do you think I threw it out there?
I don't think our American friends know what we're talking about.
Someone needs to throw Tim in the brig for that damn voice.
No, seriously. Do you guys know what The Hilarious House of Frankenstein was?
No, because it is not in the U.S.
It was a Canadian program, Keish.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Full of American actors.
Yeah, that also makes sense. Everything is tracking.
Yep. Oh, but it was hilarious. And what was the name of the big bald guy with the metal belt?
Oh, he was Igor. He was an Igor.
That was Igor. Igor. And who the hell played Frankenstein?
I don't remember.
Oh, I can picture him. And I got the look. And he's got those oversized fangs and that really bad wig that came to the point in the middle of his forehead.
Yeah, I mean, I was too young to... Oh, at that time, I thought everything was real and that actors were not actors. And the people whose parts that were being played on television were real people. So,
and they were 2 inches tall inside your TV.
Yes.
According to Wikipedia, Billy Van.
That's it. Billy Van. Thank you. Name ring a bell to anybody?
Nope.
He doesn't have a Wikipedia entry. So
just Google him then. And
I'm sorry. He does have a Wikipedia. He's wearing a football helmet.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, shit, that was an awesome show. Anyway, making it official. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And it's Halloween, so happy haunting. I hope that those of you who did go out earlier tonight, of course, in the Eastern time zone, because out west they're still running around the streets begging for candy.
We're hooligans.
If you're
old, I just got back 20 minutes ago.
If you're old enough to go out trick or treating and come back and listen to us, then I don't know, there's a problem someplace, I think. But that's neither here nor there. Want to take a second out right now to wish a belated happy birthday to two very, very loyal listeners, very loyal fans. They're tuned in right now, listening. Belatedly, happy 20th birthday to Blaine and happy 27th birthday to Tommy. Hope that you guys had a great birthday, and thanks for listening as you always do. Okay, guys, now's where you say happy birthday.
Yay, you're a year older, but not as old as Tim.
Congratulations on completing another rotation around the sun.
Yeah, that's close enough.
We just say it in our own way.
Right. Fair enough. So as far as all that goes, happy birthday.
Happy
What's next?
Birthday. What's next would be talking wrestling, Tim.
Oh, well, then maybe we should talk about wrestling. What's going on?
Apparently, it looks like Ring of Honor is no more gone.
I heard a rumor.
You heard a rumor. What was the rumor you heard?
That their last show will be the final battle in December, and then they're shutting down in January until April.
That's the idea.
Tentatively scheduled for April.
The idea is to come back in April because they're quote-unquote going on hiatus.
And you hope that they come back.
You hope that they come back, but when you're releasing all your talent from their contracts or not renewing them, that kind of raises a red flag of what the future may hold for Ring of Honor.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Chances that they actually don't come back?
Could be decent depending upon some of the financial troubles that Sinclair Media has had over the past couple of months.
Yeah. That's their parent corporation.
Yeah, that things are not well with them at the moment. They're losing a lot of money.
Well, they did some dumb things.
Including getting ransomware.
Which is not, you know, on them.
Well, okay, ransomware is not exactly their fault.
Yeah.
It
could be.
Yeah, it could be. It could be someone opened the wrong email.
And they've only got the free version of Avast antivirus installed.
God.
It's a little bit more than complicated than that. But anyway...
Yeah,
they didn't spring for McAfee, is what you're saying. Got it.
All their talent are basically free agents, but they will run out the string until the end of the year. But
how many of them are going to, seek greener pastures?
You would assume everyone.
Define greener pastures.
Well, compared to their financial situation, WWE and AEW are much better off. The only problem is AEW by now has a pretty damn bloated roster, don't you think?
Yeah, they've got to be pretty close to critical mass.
Well, not if you believe their fans, because, like, oh my God, they just got Tony Nese and Bobby Fish. And don't forget, Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman are soon to be there any day now. And then, oh my God, there's still like 14 other talents that everyone knows is going to jump from WWE to AEW because it's so much better.
God, AEW fans are almost as bad as Calgary Flames fans. Jesus.
And they are the worst.
See, we've talked
okay,
about
okay, that it. Was shot rock, and you're only doing that because my team beat your city's hockey team 4-0 last night.
Oh, that actually happened? I didn't pay attention.
No, that actually happened. Goddamn Skype.
That is the actual reaction that I expected. Oh, there's a hockey team in my city? Huh.
No,
oh,
I know that.
Hockey?
No,
a hockey team in the city.
I know about the city. They're the hockey team. We have Gritty, hashtag Team Gritty, but I wasn't paying attention. I was watching baseball. And baseball's on now, and the Braves are beating the Astros 5-4.
Wait a minute. Aren't the Braves basically this game away from walking away with the World Series?
Yes. If they win, okay, hold, they have hold. The series.
We cannot talk about it. We're not allowed to talk about it. We're told not to talk about it because we're going to put a jinx on it.
Lynn, certain someone, if the jinx was going to happen, it would have happened already.
Oh, I get it.
Although, to be fair, we haven't hit the eighth inning yet, and that is prime Atlanta time.
What inning are we in?
The fifth inning.
Yeah, they're still three innings away before, you know, they Atlanta the game.
Well, I have every faith that Atlanta will wind up blowing it somehow, like they do all the time.
Ash, they're up 3-1.
In case you haven't noticed, I'm not in the chat room, so if Lindsay is mad at me, yeah. I can't tell.
She's screaming, don't jinx it, shush. That is what she's saying at the moment.
Okay,
there's
well,
no
go Braves,
way
go.
The Braves can blow this game. They're up in the fifth inning. There is absolutely no way that they can get rid of this game or the other games to lose the World Series there.
Well, they can if they wind up losing 3 in a row.
I'm not Brent, the one that put that juju into the world. That was someone else.
Yeah, Brent, it's almost like a running contest right now. Who's going to be in more trouble, me or you? At the moment, I'm leaning towards me.
No, Brent's in trouble.
I know you will. I know you will. Don't worry.
She's yeah. I'm gonna stay out of it now. Anyway,
back. Well, wait a minute. You gotta tell me what she said because I can't get into the chat room.
She didn't say it in the chat room. Doesn't matter what she said. We're just gonna keep moving on.
Oh, so she used curse words in a private text.
It was a threat.
She's threatening us now.
Oh, so, oh, I'm not the only one. Okay, good.
We're being threatened. Anyway, back to Ring of Honor. You talk about AEW having a loaded roster. So does WWE. And they came out with this edict that they're not going to sign indie guys. So I don't think guys from Ring of Honor in their mid-30s are headed to WWE either.
No. Not at this juncture, like what you were just saying. WWE just a few weeks ago came up with a mandate that they will be developing their own talent in-house.
Well, and so, Tim, when you mentioned greener pastures earlier, that leaves, as we've seen apparently from the past name or two that has taken some free agent bookings, that leaves Impact and GCW as your greener pastures to go to from Ring of Honor.
Well, who in Ring of Honor might be able to go to New Japan?
I mean, yeah, I'm sure some of those guys have done some of the summer struggle and like the American tapings and stuff, so they might get something a little bit more long term there if they're lucky.
I was gonna say that there is a New Japan Strong.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, so there could be that possibility of using some Ring of Honor talent to bolster that so you don't have to travel as many guys over. But at the same time, does New Japan really want to put that much of a financial commitment into it?
They don't have to put a financial commitment to it because you don't have to continue give them a long-term deal. And Brent, as our NWA power expert, they could land there as well.
Yeah, they can get paid in whatever Bush beer or whatever the sponsor is for their pay-per-view.
There are options, but there's no... I don't think
there's no great options.
Yeah, there's work. There's plenty of work. Every promotion's running that you can get, you know, gigs on, but I don't think... I don't know if AEW... Like, you guys mentioned AEW, but I don't know if there's a lot of room. Like, as you rattled off all the people.
Like I said, there's... you know, they just made a big deal about signing Tony Nese. But is Tony Nese really going to move a needle for anyone, or is it just something that people will go, oh my God, I can't believe he signed, and then like 3 weeks later, he's fighting, you know, Sonny Kiss on Dark Elevation. And at that point, did he really take a step up from where he was before?
So the thought is Ring of Honor will become an independent promotion again, where they run their one-off events, they take in any talent that's available to them, and base whatever TV they're doing around that and a big pay-per-view. That's sort of their idea. Is that a good strategy, Casey?
I mean, if that's the way they're going, is like becoming more of an indie promotion, I'm sure there are going to be a bunch of people who had contracts with them that will get regular work through Ring of Honor. That just, it stands to reason.
If they're still available.
If they're still available. And I mean, I'm sure that there will be, I'm sure that there's some like behind closed doors talks about like, hey, we're releasing you from your contract, but just so you know, this is the plan. And once it comes into whatever, we are like, you know, there's got to be a handful of guys who'll be like, when we start running shows again, we want to use you. So if you can, like, if there's a way that you can make it so you can do both, keep that in mind. Who knows?
But then you watch people on Twitter saying their goodbyes to Ring of Honor. So it was like, ooh, because there's a lot of that on Wednesday and Thursday of them posting out their goodbyes and thank yous to Ring of Honor for what it was, you know?
And also, yeah, that model, I don't think is good for long-term sustainability. Is it good for a little bit? Sure. But as they said, they want to do a, was it like fan-centric promotion? How can you, as a fan, get involved with Ring of Honor when you don't know who's going to be there from show to show? How can you build a storyline?
Don't they do the same thing with PWG?
Yeah, and it's Nick Gage and who the fuck else?
At PWG?
Yeah, no, that you, Brent, you're thinking GCW.
Oh, I'm thinking GCW. I'm sorry. That's
yeah, I'm talking about Pro Wrestling Guerrilla out west. So maybe they become the Eastern version of Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and they just, like, they bring in big names and nobody really knows who shows up until the night of.
I mean, it's a strategy.
Which, I mean, if you're going to do it from a certain location, that's great. The fans of that location are good. How do you build, like, if you're going to do a web event, how do you build hype for it when it's just, well, we don't know who's going to be there, but tune in and see. Because if you don't get someone like a Malachi Black like they did recently, or anyone like that, if you tune in and pay whatever $20-$30 and you get your biggest name is Danhausen, you're gonna feel like, what the fuck?
Well, you would know a little bit probably going into it. They'll have talent booked, they'll release some sort of a card, you would assume.
No, well,
especially for the first show.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, with the PWG show that you were talking about, was it the Vortex? They don't announce anything. It is a complete surprise.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's over, what, how many years of, like, running shows and people who know of PWG going, okay, we know in the past they've brought in all kinds of, like, big names and stuff. So the risk of buying a ticket and not knowing who's on the card is not that big of a deal. So if ROH is smart, and they're going to run things like PWG, which I have no idea if they are or not, the first maybe two shows or something like that, they advertise the people who are going to be there and like build up the reputation of that. And then they can go and start vague announcing who's going to show up and just kind of become that like reputation of like, we can't tell you who's coming, but you know that good people are coming. It's just going to take a while.
It still feels like a really big drop off, though.
Oh, for sure.
From what they've... Because it's like, remember back in the day, this is the land of Samoa Joe and CM Punk and the American Dragon. Like, this was the place to be about, what, 2003, 2004?
Oh, for sure. But, I mean, they weren't drawing very well for their shows lately, so...
Yeah. Well, they also didn't have anyone at their shows lately.
They've run a couple events with fans, but they haven't consistently run since the pandemic started, which is... put them in the predicament that they were in. They were paying talent the entire time, but they weren't bringing in any money. That doesn't help if you're running a promotion and you're not making any real money.
Don't get me wrong. You had some good wrestling with like Jonathan Gresham and the Pure Wrestling, you know, the Pure Title Tournament. And you had some good, you know, matches and talent that happened. The problem is you set it up where no one saw it. And with that, I mean, for, I want to say, the first 6 months of the pandemic, they were doing highlight shows on their TV which I absolutely understand why, because you couldn't film. But at the same time, you completely lose something if your fan base is just watching rerun after rerun after rerun of shit that we've already seen.
Yep.
Which is going to be the plan for the next 4 months. before April, they're going to use archival footage with some...
Well, they still have some TV taping that they're going to try and fire out, so...
Yeah, they have a TV taping set for the beginning of November, I believe, that is going to lead to Final Battle.
So you'll at least get some new stuff, but again, we're getting to that point where it's like, okay, you're going to do TV, you'll do Final Battle, and then everything, you know, it's essentially the close of a chapter, and you're going to have to start completely fresh, new storylines, new everything, which is going to take a while to get people behind.
I don't think you're going to worry about story. You're going to worry about quality of match, and that's sort of where they're headed.
Yeah, but we, no offense, we've seen what happens with AEW when they go, we're going to put together this dream match with no build. You get a pop in the rating, and then it craters in the next 2 weeks because everyone goes, well, we saw that match. Why do we care about what else happens?
And you brought up AEW, and here's the point of AEW is sort of the cause of Ring of Honor's downfall, because Ring of Honor was an alternative, providing the best wrestling in the world, right?
Yeah.
It then moved elsewhere.
Well, not just that. The AEW raided the cupboard of Ring of Honor when it first started.
That did not help the cause at all. You took out SCU, that's three people right there. You took out Cody, you took out the Bucks. You had Kenny and the Bullet Club running around, Hangman Page. You took what was the heart of Ring of Honor, and they kind of mentioned it. Joe Koff talked about it. It's like, you all happy for them, but you took them away from the company and you created AEW. Ring of Honor set himself up by producing All In and created a new promotion without realizing it.
I hate to say it. That's the AEW model, is we're going to use the indies and make ourselves better. And if something happens on your end, I guess that's good too. Because if you look at the agreement that they had with Impact, what did Impact get from it?
They made more money in their pay-per-views having Kenny Omega involved.
They had a slight bump in pay-per-views, but it wasn't noticed. I mean, it wasn't sustained. You had your championship belt featured on AEW as a prop that was carried around by Michael Nakazawa, not even the champion. You had your title belt change hands on their television, not your own. And then finally, oh yeah, we're going to have Christian, not the guy that was set up to have, you know, these matches with a lot of AEW talent or Impact talent. We're going to have Christian come back and drop the belt to our people.
Which didn't feel like the best move, because Christian, you won't consider it a traditional AEW talent. You didn't get to beat an AEW guy when you took back your belt.
No, you didn't get to go over on AEW. You went over on a TNA Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And then your tag team champions have been on AEW television for how many months? Declaring that they're not even the number one tag team. Their boys are the number one tag team. We're just here. Because every time the Good Brothers talk about the Young Bucks, it's, they're the best tag team in the world. What does that make them?
Guys.
And yet they're walking around with your tag belts. Not a good sign.
Yeah. No, losing ROH is not great, no matter how you look at it.
No, it's not. It's not beneficial for the wrestling business, because the more places for people to work and have a creative outlet, like a guy like EC3, who's now back out, who made his bet home now in Ring of Honor, has to go find somewhere else to work. You got Jay Lethal, who, we all love Jay Lethal, but he's on the back end of his career, so WWE's not going to take him. Maybe he gets a run in AEW. I'm not sure. Maybe a one-off. Maybe like the Briscoes, you maybe get the one-off match.
Yep.
But I don't know what that does. I don't know how that benefits anyone, you know?
You also have to take into consideration at this point in their careers, collectively, all the talent at Ring of Honor. How many of them are set for the foreseeable future?
I don't know.
Ring of Honor? I would guess probably not a lot of them, because I don't think they were making bang up
exactly be right. The highest paid out there.
If they were smart with the money, some probably are okay, but there's probably not big money contracts out there. It's why when a new promotion was started who was offering big money, everyone went.
they pretty much were already poached.
Well, and if they go to AEW, there's no guarantee that they're going to get, what is it, the tier one contract, I think is what they label it, when you get the all elite icon and whatever. They could just end up on those tier zeros, which are, yeah, we'll pull you in when we need someone to fill in or if we want to pop a rating, and then afterwards, you just don't need to come by. They're not on the roster, but everyone will absolutely assume, oh, they're with AEW, but they're technically not. Because, I mean, look at, what is it, Fuego del Sol was with the company for, what, a year? And now he just finally got, quote-unquote, signed?
Mm-hmm.
So we hope Ring of Honor survives in some fashion. See what it turns out to be. Who knows?
Well, you know, the thing about it is the more promotions survive, the better it is for the business overall, the better it is for the fans at the end of the day.
The thing for me is, this feels very much like Impact and Anthem, and I don't necessarily mean that in a great way, when it's, okay, we're gonna restructure, and they did what they did. And I still don't feel like Impact has recovered, because it still feels very much very indie in its production and everything.
But they're making strides now to sort of...
They're making steps, but it's still, they're performing in, you know, a soundstage in, what is it, Nashville, with about 45 people in the crowd?
No. They've now traveled to Vegas. They've sold tickets in Vegas. They're doing TV tapings out there. They're headed to Dallas in January for the pay-per-view.
Okay, 150.
That's a couple hundred. But they're growing. Like, they're going back out. At least that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah,
and they're not... They're taking it slow. They're not being super aggressive. I'd say they're playing it safe, and it's probably smart.
That's smart on their part.
The pandemic slowed their progression down, but it also allowed them to figure it out. So we'll see where things go, I guess, Tim.
Well, that's all you can do is just wait and see and hope for the best and keep your fingers crossed for all of the guys and gals who are going to have one hell of an early spring break.
All right, so moving on. It is Halloween, so we have a little game to play called Trick or Treat. I'm going to pose a scenario. You tell me whether it's a trick or it's a treat. So go around the table, see what you guys think. First one, Big E, Seth Rollins for the WWE Championship. Trick or treat, Brent?
I'm going to go treat.
Why?
Because you've got Big E, who still needs to, you know, face some credible challengers to help bolster his championship run. You've got Seth Rollins, who will step in as an instant credible threat because he's held the championship. He's a hated heel. I still question the fact how he lost Hell in a Cell, was instantly thrown into a number one contenders match and got the shot. But if you need someone to go up against Big E that can also be a threat and be engaging with it, just the two of them in ring together recently was hella entertaining, in my opinion. I think it's a good thing.
Casey, is it trick or treat?
I think it's a trick. I'm excited to see it.
That would be a treat.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Treats are good. Tricks are bad.
Yes, treats are good. Well, depends on the trick. No, it is a treat. I'm excited to see it. I want to see it.
Hold it. Did you just say it depends on the trick?
Yes.
What?
No, I don't mean it like that, Tim.
You're worried about how much he charges? What?
No. Tricks is in shenanigans, not tricks is in like
you deserve
what you used
that
to
one.
Call things back when dinosaurs walked around.
You deserved it. You deserved me saying that.
Sure. I'm not denying that. In any case, want to see it. They are two very good wrestlers. They will, the interaction up until the time when they wrestle will be fantastic. Yes, tricks are for kids, and I am a giant child. I like trick cereal.
Wow, what
it was in the chat. Team chat said tricks are for kids.
Like walk that back any faster?
No, he's commenting from the chat, Tim. He's reading
yes,
the chat.
Yes, I know that.
As someone who's not on the chat, just leave it alone.
I'm in chat.
You just said you weren't.
Well, I got my shit fixed, didn't I?
Oh, but you didn't say that.
You didn't
the hamster
ask.
Jumped back on
and,
the wheel.
And also, if you were in the chat, then you would know what I'm talking about. So I don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah, I know. It's Matt saying tricks are for kids. I caught it.
Tricks are for kids. I like tricks. Anyway, Big E, Seth Rollins, want to see it. Good things will happen. Good interactions leading up to the match. A good match. Probably good interactions between them after the match, depending on what happens.
Tim, trick or treat?
Oh, it's an absolute treat. Are you kidding? They're really letting Big E come into his own as the title holder. And if you want to give him any more credibility, you could do a lot worse than putting him in a program with Seth freaking Rollins. Seth has got to be one of my all-time, like, one of my favorite heels. Mm-hmm. I love to hate the guy. I love to hate the character.
Okay. Trick or Treat. Beetlejuice is the best Halloween movie, Casey.
I disagree with that.
So that would be a
joke. I can't tell you what the best Halloween movie is, but I don't think it is Beetlejuice. I like Beetlejuice. It is a good Halloween movie. It is not the best Halloween movie.
Okay. Brent, Trick or Treat, Beetlejuice is the best Halloween movie.
That's Trick. Trick all the way. Beetlejuice is good. It's a fun, has some scare elements. Do I think it's a great Halloween movie? I wouldn't go there. To me, best Halloween movie, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Trick or Treat, Tim.
Oh, I love Beetlejuice. I absolutely adore it, but this is a trick. And the problem is it is so damn suggestive. You guys remember last week I asked what your go-to Halloween movie was. Nobody brought up Ghostbusters. As much as I love Beetlejuice, I think Ghostbusters is a bigger, better movie overall.
Trick or Treat, Tim. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are top tier Halloween candy.
Oh, that's an absolute treat. They're one of my favorites. Just don't tell Reese I'm enjoying his peanut butter cups, because if he shows up and I'll say, hey, those are mine, I'll have to give them back.
Casey, Trick or Treat.
As someone who is currently eating a Reese peanut butter cup right now, they are a treat.
Brent.
As a fluffy guy, they are top tier, especially if you put them in the freezer. Because then, oh, mwah, chef's kiss. They're so much better chill.
I put them on my s'mores.
There you go.
Wait, don't ever call yourself fluffy, man.
I fully admit I'm fluffy. I'm not quite damn level, but I'm fluffy.
Damn!
So
definitely not no hell no level.
Girl, do it like Gabriel.
Damn!
All right. Part B question for Brent. Trick or Treat. Candy corn. Top tier.
Oh, no. That's a trick. That is absolute trick. Fuck candy corn. Candy corn is plastic that someone decided they would try to eat one day and trick other people into doing the same thing. There is no good reason why anyone should have candy corn.
Other than some of us like candy corn.
Yes, and you're called fascist.
I am not. No, you're being the fascist.
This is really funny because I'm kind of indifferent to candy corn. Like, I don't think it's the worst, but I don't think I'll eat it every once in a while. I also have candy corn D&D dice, and they look cool.
Okay. Oh, no. They can look fine. But, Casey, when you eat one, what is the texture of candy corn?
It depends on how long you've had the candy corn.
It's fairly waxy/plastic, isn't it?
If you get, like, fresh-ass candy corn, it's, like, it's soft in the middle. But if it's been sitting, like, longer than, like, 30 minutes, done.
So when you say fresh, you mean only been in the store for 2 years, right?
No, I mean, like, same year candy corn.
Because I have to say, I went to Target earlier, walked the aisles, and I ended up going to the Halloween candy. I was like, oh, let's see what's still here. All of the bags of candy were basically gone. The end cap was completely full of candy corn. No one wants it.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's down in the bottom as far as like Halloween candy that when you dig it out of your bag, you're like, okay. You put that aside with the what do you guys call rockets in the US? Smarties?
Oh no, don't you talk smack about Smarties.
Hey,
No, rockets and Smarties are not the same thing. Smarties are M&M's chocolate in the States.
No, they're not.
Smarties. Smarties is a Canadian thing. It's a British candy. British Canadian candy.
Yes, but in the States, Tim, they call rockets Smarties.
Yeah, Smarties are just plain sugar.
Well, that just proves how dumb Americans are.
Anyway, moving on. Trick or treat.
Wait, I have a question before we move on and things get taken care of. The molasses taffy candy that's wrapped in the Halloween wax paper.
Oh, God, no.
I mean, I've eaten like 6 over the last 2 days. But when I was a kid, no bueno. But for some reason,
yeah,
they're tolerable now.
Yeah, I've discovered they're an acquired taste. When I was a kid, forget it. Screw you.
But as I've gotten older,
I've liked them more.
Yeah, they got to be like soft. You got to like carry them in your pocket for like an hour.
These things definitely, you can't throw them in the freezer.
No. Maybe they changed the recipe or something, but like, I've come around to the molasses candies.
Yeah, no, the recipe has not changed for 115 years.
Well, then I don't know what happened. I acquired a taste for them, much like some people do with like Brussels sprouts or some other thing.
Yeah, like our taste buds are maturing. And Anubis Ash, that's William in the chat room, isn't it? No, it's not maple flavored. It's molasses flavored. Don't tell me you don't know what I'm talking about.
So I'm going to move on and ask this question. Trick or treat. Ciampa retaining his NXT championship over Bron Breakker, Casey. Trick or treat.
I'm going to go treat because I don't think that it was time for Bron Breakker to have a title so soon. Giving him a chance to kind of like, I guess if you kind of look at it from the WWE perspective, the rumor mill going around is they were testing him. I mean, it's a good test for a guy like that who has, you know, second generation wrestler, the pedigree of like a good wrestler, and testing him with something like that is probably good to see how he'll react and whether or not he has, you know, a Rick Steiner ego or a Scott Steiner ego, I guess, is one way to look at it.
Let's hope he doesn't get Scott Steiner math.
Yeah.
Brent, trick or treat.
I'm going to say treat, kind of piggybacking off of Casey a little bit. He's had about, what, 3 matches on TV? I know that they're really high on him, and I know that the fans are really excited about him, but there's a reason why a lot of people don't start their runs with a belt. I know that there are notable exceptions. Paige, for example, first night in, wins the title. But at the same time, if you don't know who he is, I mean, yeah, he's Rick Steiner's son. That's great. What else is there to him? This gives you a chance to kind of build him up a little more, and you keep the belt on a guy that knows how to hold it and run with it. And if he needs to drop it, that's fine. No offense, Ciampa's probably not going anywhere sometime soon, and he can be your champion as well as a credible threat hanging in the woodworks when he loses Goldie. Plus, Ciampa can work both face and heel if you need him to, because he can be a face right now, and then, you know, if there's a threat to Goldie, he can turn on that malicious bit if you have someone to be a good face for him to work with. Like, if Breakker wants another shot and Ciampa gets threatened, then you can switch dynamics a little bit if you want.
Okay.
So overall, I think it's a treat because it doesn't have to be the end of Bron Breakker going for the title. It can still build to that as well. Plus, you have it on someone good who can carry it.
Trick or treat, Tim.
Oh, it's a treat. There's no reason to take it off, champ, and there's no reason to put it on Bron.
Trick or treat, Toxic Attraction holding all the women's championship chips in NXT. Brent.
Oh, boy. I don't hate the idea, so I can kind of go treat on this one.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't want it to be overriding because I feel like that got to be the case with like Undisputed Era. When you have a faction hold all the belts and hold all that power, I feel like it puts a bit of a ceiling on everyone because you have these 3 people holding all the gold and everyone else is kind of like, well, how do we take that next step with them? I think it's good to build them up as like an entity, but also I feel like we've seen on SmackDown with the Bloodline, don't have it become domineering.
Trick or treat, Casey.
This one's tough because on one hand, it's nice to have a faction like that, you know, be pushed and have all the gold and be, you know, we're evil, we have all the gold, yada, yada, yada. But also, you know, Brent has very good points about you don't want to put a glass ceiling on there because you don't want to give up you don't want that faction to drop the belts to anyone for a long time because then things become, you know, predictable for the fans. Oh, there's a title match going on? Ah. That's okay. We don't care because we know what's going to happen. So, I mean, if you can book it in a way that either makes the champions hold those titles not in like a super long-term fashion or have it so that the people challenging for the belts look like credible threats to take the titles, then it could be good. Otherwise, you're just going to have it look like me going after any belt, and you know that I'm not going to win.
Tim, trick or treat.
Well, the guys have called it. It's a bit of a tricky situation. holding all the women's championships, you know, and you want to compare that with SmackDown. And, you know, Roman and the Usos holding all the men's championships. I have never been a proponent of that, like having such a dominating monopoly and having it last. And that's one of the problems I have with SmackDown. And it's just, you know, Casey, you said it. It's like, oh, there's another championship match coming on. Ew, who's in there? No, okay, well, let me know when the next match is on, because I'm going to go and flip over and watch the Braves leading by 1 point in the seventh inning.
They're not points. Anyway, they're not run. They're called runs, Tim. They're not points.
I know, but it's still a point. You get my point. You get my run. You'll know what I mean.
That was terrible.
I am not here.
And finally, Trick or Treat, Monster Mash is the best Halloween song, Tim.
No, I have a question. Are there any other Halloween songs?
Yes.
I can't think of one. And no, movie theme songs don't count.
Thriller. This is Halloween. There's two right there. Ghostbusters. I know you said movie themes, but still,
Thriller,
they're Halloween.
Halloween, you know, it's adopted because he's like doing the ghoul dances and stuff like that, but didn't really come out as a Halloween song.
Casey.
That's like saying Die Hard is more of a Christmas movie than Lethal Weapon, which is bullshit.
Nightmare on My Street by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
I'm talking real music.
Casey, is it a trick or a treat?
I mean, I'm going to call it a treat because let's face facts. We're having enough trouble figuring out another Halloween song aside from the This Is Halloween song from Nightmare Before Christmas, which is great, and Ghostbusters. So a song written specifically as a Halloween song and not to accompany anything, I can't think of anything else.
I put a spell on you.
Yeah, but was that written as a Halloween song, or was that just written as, like, a creepy song?
That's a stalker, creepy stalker song. That's not Halloween.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe It's Cold Outside as a Christmas song when it's the same thing.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
That's like saying Jingle Bells is a Christmas song, and it's not. It's a song about winter, not Christmas. It's got nothing to do with Christmas, and the only time you ever hear it is Christmas. Which is okay. I'd rather never hear it to begin with, but
yeah, it's hard to come up with. Like, I mean, I like Thriller is probably the closest to it. So I'd say it's a tie with Thriller. I'm gonna say it's a tie with Thriller.
Brand Trick or Treat.
I'm gonna go full out Trick.
Uh-huh.
Just plain and simple Trick.
Okay. There you go. That was Trick or Treat. It's time for Tim's. Oh wait, it's scratched out. Brand's random question of the week.
Don't worry, Tim, I got you. With it being, you know, the spooky day and everything, I just wanted to pose to everyone, what is your spookiest or scariest wrestling moment that you remember?
Go with Casey first.
Darn, I knew that was going to come. let's see. If you go back and you talk to, like, 5-year-old Casey, he was pretty creeped out by all of the shenanigans that Papa Shango did back in the day when he was 5. When you revisit it now, adult Keishi understands why 5-year-old Keishi was a little scared of it, but adult Keishi understands that it is not scary at all. Yeah, and then I would also call out, like, the debut of the Yet-Te, but not because he was scary, because the concept in general was scary.
Oh, I thought it was because he man-humped Hulk Hogan.
I mean, no, that was unsettling. I wouldn't call it scary.
Pretty scary to me.
So far, Casey nailed two of the ones me and Brent went back and forth with.
Yeah. Oh no, I sent Rock like a list of 5 that I initially was like, this, and again, it was like just like you, Casey. When I was little, these were all the ones, or like when I was in my teenage years, it was kind of like, yeah, that's a little weird, a little messed up.
Oh, yeah. Just like when The Undertaker debuted and I was a child, I was like, what? And now I'm just like, yes.
The funny thing is, I remember watching WCW and seeing Mark Callis there, and I was like, okay. And then The Undertaker debuted, and I was like, what the hell is that thing? And it took me a little while to put the two together.
I didn't get WCW up here until, like, the Monday Night Wars. So, yeah, like, that
we
was
had
never even a thing for
Monday
me.
Monday Night Wars, though, Casey, because we could watch Raw on Monday and WCW on Tuesday.
Oh, I remember when they just played them back-to-back.
Oh.
And you would just get 4 hours of wrestling on a Monday or a Tuesday. I can't remember which one.
It was 6 hours because they would always immediately afterwards replay Raw.
But I never watched Raw twice in a row.
I used to.
I mean, I had homework.
What's that?
Tim didn't then.
It's something that you used to do when you had to walk uphill both ways to school.
Barefoot. In the snow.
You know, chisel it into the rock.
What school?
Tim, your thoughts on the question?
What was the question? Oh, the spookiest, scariest wrestling moments? Now, yeah. are we talking like kayfabe, or are we talking like real life events? Because there was one that literally almost scared the living shit out of me.
Okay.
Randy Orton was involved. It was a steel cage match.
So hold on. Randy Orton was involved. It was backstage in the locker room, and you had a bag. No.
No, that wasn't it, jackass. That was a funny moment, a laughing moment. What I'm talking about is Randy Orton in a cage match, and it was a multi-person cage match. At one point, Randy Orton broke a table, and a piece of the table was sticking straight up, the broken piece, the pointy end. And Randy's move was supposed to be he got kicked out of the ring and he flop over and fall on his face. He gets kicked out of the ring. He flops over just about to fall on his face and stopped himself short. Otherwise, he would have impaled himself on that thing. And it's the first, last, and only time I remember Randy actually using the F word during a televised match that actually got caught on camera.
Okay. Brett, what were other ones you came up with?
For me, it was one of those things, like, growing up, some of the stuff that WWE did that kind of freaked me out, much like Casey talked about. So Papa Shango, and when he kind of put the voodoo hex on Warrior, and he started bleeding the black goo and upchucking in the back. There was the time that Warrior got locked in the casket by Taker. Randy Savage and the Cobra, which, as a little kid, that really messed you up when he gets tied up in the ring and a snake is legitimately biting him. Now, for the venom sac removed, yes, but still, it takes a different level of person to be like, yeah, that snake's going to bite you.
And again, as a kid, you don't know that.
Yeah, as a kid, you didn't know. It was just, wow, Randy's getting bit. Oh, shit, there's blood. Oh, yeah, that's... And Piper selling it on the commentary made it even better when he's screaming, like, someone get down there, and finally he runs down to try and get Savage out of the ropes. Plus, you had Jake, you know, smacking the snake on its head. You find out now he was trying to get the snake to release, but when you're watching him, he's, you know, jerking the snake around and shit, and it just looks like, yeah, he's being fucking sadistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say another one, I put Black Wedding, but the more scary one was Boss Man getting hung from the Hell in a Cell.
I forgot about that.
Because when you're watching it, it's like, okay, he's getting... Wait, that cage is... Holy shit. And he's just dangling. I know he had the back rig, but he's just, you know, he's just laying there straight, and you're just like, oh God, what are we watching?
Yeah, I completely forgot about that. Oh, man.
And nowadays when you watch it, you're like, I kind of understand this, but this is still really fucked up.
Yeah.
Even if you know how they did it, it's still messed right the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Anything else, Ryan?
No, I think those are pretty much some of the big ones. I mean, we had some honorable mentions, you know. I think Brock had the Dungeon of Doom with the Yeti.
Which case you mentioned.
Yeah, I countered with David Arquette as WCW champion. That's pretty scary.
I countered with Vince Russo as champion.
I countered that.
At least Arquette has redeemed himself.
Yeah. It's not Arquette as champion or Russo as champion. What's scary is somebody thought there was somebody who actually thought that was a good idea.
All right, let's continue, Brent.
I countered Vince Russo with Oklahoma.
I then countered with the ECW Zombie.
I followed that up with Kelly Kelly's dancing.
And I follow that up with...
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now! So we go from a bad moment to good ones. We have Stacy Keibler taking on Lita. Keishi.
Lita.
Why?
Because not only was Lita a good performer in the ring, she was a good performer out of the ring. Everything she did with the Hardys, everything she did in the Rated R era, way better than anything Stacy Keibler ever did.
God damn it, Rock.
What? I didn't say anything.
I know, but you're laughing. I know what you're thinking.
Brent?
Insert Lita joke here.
There you go.
There it is. I'll go with Lita because she was more than just quote-unquote legs, which was all Stacy Keibler's persona was.
But she knew how to use them.
That's great. She still had the personality of a wet paper bag.
And she never begged.
No, that was Trish.
No, she knew how to choose men. She did. Oh, dear. She wound up with George Clooney.
But I'll say Lita had the better character overall because she had, you know, her run with S.A. Rios, her run with the Hardys. And then when she got paired with Edge, it added a different dynamic to her, and she got to be kind of, you know, the evil bitch. Because normally she was just the fan favorite. She did the high spots, and it was like, okay, cool. Then she got to kind of embrace being evil, and it was a different dynamic to her, which I think takes her above, you know, Stacy faking a pregnancy.
Right up until the fan response to her cheating on Matt got to her.
Then she embraced it. Anyway, Tim, your pick?
Yeah, my pick's Lita. Insert Lita joke here.
All right, Alexa Bliss and Asuka.
Damn.
Oh, boy, this one's tough. If we were going to go it just in-ring performer, I'd go Asuka. I think she's also entertaining on the mic. Best overall character, female character that we're going with on this, Alexa. Because she's capable of the ring, multiple-time champion, but I feel there's more to her personality than there is Asuka. And I think, I hate to say this, I think Asuka's a little limited due to the language barrier. Even though it's great that she can, you know, still cut promos and everything, with what Alexa can do on the mic versus what Asuka can do on the mic in helping build character, I've got to go with Alexa.
Tim.
I love Asuka. I really do. Yeah, I get a kick out of her doing the Japanese promos and the Japanese commentating and everything. Like she's acting like everybody understands her and all that other stuff, and I get a kick out of it. And I love watching her perform in the ring because when you strip away everything else, she's one hell of a hardcore performer. Damn good. But the character is, like you said, Brent, the character is limited, especially in comparison to somebody like Alexa. The versatility. How many character changes have we seen from Alexa so far? Three?
Five?
Something like that. A lot. Alexa's the same character completely, but every character change that Alexa has gone through has been masterful, has been smooth transitionally, and believable. And to top it all off, entertaining as hell.
Keishi,
I love Asuka. I love what Asuka has done with her character. She is also a phenomenal wrestler. But if you asked Alexa Bliss to do everything that Asuka has done, she'd be able to do it. If you asked Asuka to do anything that Alexa Bliss has done, I feel like it would not go over as well. So Alexa Bliss.
Nikki Bella and Bayley. Tim.
I'm going with Bayley on this one. Nikki, she was the two-trick pony. And make your own joke there, because I'm sure there's a couple that could be. Bayley, absolutely brilliant what they have done with Bayley. Starting her out, she's you know, the hug monster, and everybody, you know, she's the role model for the girls before Nikki A.S.H., like the original role model, if you will, old school, the OG role model. But they let her grow and expand her character, and she winds up turning tweener and then heel, and it flowed. And you put Bayley on camera, I'm there. Whether she's wrestling or just cutting a promo or just being a silent sidekick to somebody, I'm there. Because, well, among other things, I'm anticipating her head-to-head with Michael Cole. So, it's Bayley, baby!
Keishi.
Yeah, Bailey for sure. Bailey's character has changed dramatically from one end of the spectrum to the other. And I feel like Nikki Bella's basically been the same person regardless of whether she's been a heel or a face. Doesn't mean that she didn't do a good job with what she had. It's just she is very limited to just being Nikki Bella, where Bailey can be all kinds of Bailey.
Right.
I think Casey kind of touched on a good point in the fact that in all the years that Nikki was in the WWE, she basically ran the same character, which was just a mean girl. Now, there were times that she could have kind of a redeeming portion, like when she was first paired with Brie in like the Daniel Bryan Authority storyline, but then she reverted to mean girl, and we got that infamous segment of I wish you'd like died in the womb. Whereas Bailey, I mean, yeah, she was your cookie cutter, like create a wrestler if you wanted to do a just complete baby face when she first came up to the roster, and she had her Bailey buddies, and you know, she was the excited fan who got to make it as a wrestler and everything's great. And then that moment that she turned heel, like full-fledged heel, after she beat up Sasha, but when she came out on SmackDown and eviscerated the Bailey buddies and got the soccer mom haircut for the first time, completely switched that character. And the way that she ran with that and ran with the belt for an entire year absolutely gives her the nod over Nikki Bella.
All right. Bailey moves on, and finally, we have Victoria taking on Ember Moon Kishi.
I'm going to choose Victoria. Mostly, I mean, Victoria has had longer to do more with the characters that she was able to do over the years. So it's not like I'm saying Ember Moon is bad. It's just Victoria has done more and done more characters, so... the victory goes to Victoria for experience.
Right.
I'm going to go with Victoria as well, simply because, and I know that this might not be fair to say, Ember was very much limited by the fact of her injuries. I think there's a couple of times that she got that kind of stop-start, and you can't plan for those kinds of injuries, but at the same time, I don't think you can ignore them with the fact of it felt like they were starting to do something with Ember, and then they had to stop, and she was gone for like a year with the major injury. And then there was a time in NXT where, again, they put like the belt on her, and then she dislocated her shoulder, and she had to drop it, and they had to like put plans on hold. With all of that, it's just, it's hard to give her the nod when you have a wealth of material with Victoria, and you've seen a lot of the stuff that has gone on with her, both in WWE, as well as her run and Impact and what she did with like the beautiful people there. And yeah, I've got to go Victoria.
And finally, Tim.
Well, I can't add anything, but it's unanimous. I'm picking Victoria.
All right, there you go.
This bracket is getting harder and harder.
Yeah, we're getting really close. We're at the quarterfinals now. We'll do that next week.
Ooh.
Wow, we got like three to pick.
I'm looking at it right now. I don't like being us right now.
But that's next week's problem. We're done for the night.
That's this evening, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, tomorrow immediately following WAH is the post show where they talk about the baseball game.
No.
No?
We talk about Raw tomorrow night, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Raw post show.
Is it still a one-run difference?
It's a three-run game, Tim. It was never a one-run. It was two, and now it's three.
Oh. Okay, then. Hey! Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, it's the return of the multi-time, multi-award-winning Rack Radio Show with Lindsay Ward, and Rock will be there, too.
Check out last week's episode where we rank candy. What we're doing this week, who knows? But you have news, notes, NXT, and more. It's Rack Live, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Rock and roll. All right. Yeah, hey, speaking of rock and roll, Saturday night, midnight-ish, close they get to it. Another edition of the Wild, Wacky, Unusual Fans of Chucky, CB Radio.
A Decade Plus 4 is coming very soon. CBRLive.com, GreatAndTheGreatDebate.com.
And, of course, next Sunday night, 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern. Another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. What are we going to talk about?
Stuff.
Wrestling.
Stuff.
And stuff. Wrestling and stuff. And apparently, Casey's playing curling.
Yeah, I will be hurrying hard, probably.
It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter.
It's a curling term. Don't worry about it.
It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WTR Sunday on both Facebook and the Twitters. Casey, you're on the Twitters.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. My kid dressed up as Orange Cassidy for Halloween. He's not a super huge wrestling fan, but he likes Orange Cassidy, and that's good enough for me. You can also, if you so choose, I have a online Redbubble store. If you want to support me in any way, just look for KC22. The links are also in my profiles on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks.
Go watch him wrestle too locally on Fridays and Saturdays.
Yep. Mostly Fridays for me here in Calgary.
There you go.
The occasional Saturday in Edmonton, but probably not until the springtime when my child's hockey season is over.
There you go. Brent's on Twitter.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at King Kittens, where I like to make a lot of friends, and I use friends in quotes. And also, depending upon how this game goes, maybe posting either good or angry rants about how the Cowboys game is going.
What's the score?
13-16. Cowboys down, but it's 2 minutes left, and they're on the Minnesota 24, so they have a chance with their backup quarterback.
I mean, they have to... Oh, they don't have that. Oh.
No, Dak is out with a calf injury, but they still have a shot.
Fun and Dandy, what was your prediction initially?
Oh, I picked the Cowboys to win, but I also thought Dak was going to play.
Did.
Tim's on the Twitters.
I am. You can find me at Flames Forum. I'm going to talk wrestling. I'm going to talk hockey. I'm going to post things that make you go, hmm.
I tweet out rhetorical stuff that people think
they have to answer. What?
Tim, we have to have an intervention with you right now.
What?
Stop with the face things.
Stop with the what?
The face things you post
the
on Twitter.
The face folds, the edits, the...
We need
the reface.
Yeah, there needs to be an intervention. They need to stop.
Why?
They're terrible.
I'm not the one who makes them from scratch. It's the reface app, and apparently, I make a really good Hannibal Lecter.
Tim, they need to stop.
Just start putting his face on really, really bad things.
Okay, you realize that you telling me they have to stop, it's just going to happen twice as much now. I'm going to do Tony Montana from Scarface.
Put his face on Ronald McDonald. Put his face on Grimace. Put his face on emails.
Send me a picture of yourself, Casey. I'll reface you.
No thanks.
Chicken. But anyway,
nobody wants to see my face on my own body. Why does anybody want to see my face on anybody else?
I don't know, but I think that you should put your face on something that John Travolta did. I don't know why I just said that. Anyway, yeah, all that content and a hell of a lot more on my Twitter. Just follow me at Flames Forums.
We're done.
And that's it for this week. Catch you next Sunday night at 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, for another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network.